Good morning. It's good to see everyone here this morning. Have a good group this morning. Again, Abby and her family being here, really glad to have them. At my bed and breakfast, I have some slots open for the month of April. So if you're wanting to stay, then we have some openings there. No, it's good to have some people in the apartment finally, and having some people staying. So it's really good for them to be here this week. 2 weeks ago, we were in the book of Nehemiah, and we were looking at the prayers of Nehemiah, some prayers there. We're going to continue that second part to that lesson this morning. When I've taught this in the past, I've had this as one, and Abby is actually the one that suggests that I break this into two parts because at points this is over an hour long if I do it in one sitting, and that was good advice, and so I appreciate advice like that. And so we're going to look at a few more of those prayers this morning, and then even some things that are related to prayer, but that are found particularly in the Word of God, and how the Word of God can even help inform our prayers. So we're going to be looking at those things this morning. We've already looked at prayers of compassion, prayers of mercy, prayers for justice, and that idea of constantly being in conversation with God, and how any meaningful relationship is going to be mutual. There's going to be communication between both parties. It's not going to be a one-way street, but rather a two-way street. So while we can pray to God, we also need to be reading His Word and hearing what He has to say to us, and then we communicate back to Him through prayer. So go ahead and turn to Nehemiah chapter 4. That's where we're going to be looking at this first prayer this morning, Nehemiah chapter 4, in verse 7. And we'll read through verse 9. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 7. Now it happened when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs, the Ammonites, and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were being restored and the gaps were beginning to be closed, that they became very angry. And all of them conspired together to come and attack Jerusalem and create confusion. Nevertheless, we made our prayer to our God, and because of them, we set a watch against them day and night. This is a prayer for protection. Protection against those that would oppose God and oppose His work, oppose His will. And the people here, they all prayed when they heard about this imminent attack that was coming against them. And they took precautionary measures when they heard of that news. In our lives presently, we don't really see any physical harm against us as the people of God, at least not on a wide scale here in America. And while that can definitely be the case here fairly soon, it is not currently. I think we can also apply this for ourselves, though, in our current lives, to our spiritual attacks that may come against us. Ask that we be protected from the wiles of the devil. We talked about that in James this morning, how we can resist the devil with the help of God. And that's what the people asked for here, that they asked for protection from those that opposed God. We can ask that God can give us the strength to overcome that persecution, to overcome those hardships. And we can pray that we will have the strength and the courage to walk through that door that He provides us, that way of escape that He has told us will be provided to us in every instance. But we have to be evaluating ourselves, and we have to be evaluating that situation and see that door and take it whenever it does come up. Later, in the chapter here, they even took action. We should not expect only to pray for protection and then just expect something to happen. We can't just pray and sit idly by and expect something, some miraculous thing to come into our lives and to for God to intervene somehow in our lives without us actually putting any effort into that situation. We, as Christians, are called to take action. Again, in the book of James, faith is realized, fully realized, when we take action. True belief is when we carry out God's will in every aspect of our life and constantly evaluate how we are acting as His people. And so we continually ask for that guidance from God. We should also recognize, as I think the people did here and Nehemiah did, that not only can God bring protection, but He Himself is a sanctuary. He Himself is that refuge that we can run to. When we resist the devil, when we flee from him, God is who we run to. In the book of Psalms, we won't read all of these, but just to emphasize the point of just how much is said about God in this capacity. Psalm 9, verse 9, 16, 1, 17, 8, 23, 4, 32, 7, 57, 1, 121, 5 through 8, and 91. And there are many other passages that we could go to for those sentiments. God brings protection. He, in and of Himself, is a refuge. He is a sanctuary. We need to remember to ask Him for protection in our spiritual lives, especially, that most important part. The next type of prayer that, and even connected to this prayer of protection, we're going to look at three separate prayers. First, in chapter 5, Nehemiah chapter 5, in verse 19, beginning, Nehemiah chapter 5 and verse 19. Remember me, my God, for good, according to all that I have done for this people. And this is Nehemiah speaking here. And then Nehemiah chapter 13, in verse 22. And I commanded the Levites that they should cleanse themselves and that they should go and guard the gates to sanctify the Sabbath day. Remember me, O my God, concerning this also, and spare me according to the greatness of your mercy. And then finally, in verse 31 of the same chapter. Back up to verse 30 here. Thus I cleanse them of everything pagan. I also assign duties to the priests and the Levites, each to his service, and to bringing the wood offering and the first fruits at appointed times. Remember me, O my God, for good. These are prayers for remembrance. Nehemiah is asking God that he remember the good that he had done. But he does not do so with pride in elevating himself above mercy or above others. He's hoping that God will consider showing mercy upon him. And I think there's a great difference, and there needs to be a distinction made between calling to remembrance those deeds that we do for God in doing the will of the Lord. And then in the way that the Pharisee presents himself to God in Luke chapter 18, in verse 11. And what is the difference between these two prayers? It is a matter of attitude. And it is a matter of pride. And it's a failure of recognition of who God is and who we are. Our attitude, as we've gone through the book of James, needs to be aligned with the will of God. What is our attitude? What is our motivation? And I think even all of this is even tied to the fact that we ask God to remember the righteous, right? We remember that God remembers those who are faithful to him, and that he would blot out evil. He would get rid of evil. Get rid of this evil that is taking part in my life, or that is going against me, that is going against your people. And it's also tied to the fact that we are simply reflectors of the ultimate source of light. If we are stepping out of the light, we are in darkness. But when we align ourselves with God, we are in the light. And so we are reflectors of Christ, who is that ultimate source of light. And so we should never get the idea that God owes us something because of the work that we've done, because we deserve something, because of all these righteous things that I've done. That is the wrong attitude. And that is earthly wisdom. We need to remember where the honor is going, where the glory should be going, where honor is due. And yet, we can ask that God remembers us, that God remembers his people, that God remembers those good things that we have done in his kingdom, that he would, again, protect his people. That is something that we can ask for, and we shouldn't feel even guilty in asking for. The next type of prayer that I'd like for us to look at is prayer, got ahead of myself a little bit here, is a prayer for strength. And that's found in chapter 6, Nehemiah chapter 6 and verse 9. Nehemiah chapter 6 and verse 9. It says, For they all were trying to make us afraid, saying, their hands will be weakened in the work, and it will not be done. Now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. In order to rebuild this wall in the face of all of this persecution, they needed physical, emotional, spiritual strength in the task that was before them. And they ended up building this wall in only 52 days. There's plenty of construction going on in Charlottesville that I think has probably been going on for a few years. And that's with power tools and bulldozers and whatever else. And part of that is city regulations, but we won't get into that discussion. 52 days, they built this gigantuan wall. And it was done with the help of God. It was not of their own strength. They needed that strength from God. And so, when we are persecuted, when we are tempted, when we are discouraged because of whatever discouragements come into our lives, whatever persecutions, we can become spiritually weak and disheartened. And it's important for us to remember that God can bring that strength back into our lives, and he can bring that confidence back into our lives. And he does that from day to day if we look for it and if we seek for it. We need to ask God for the resolve, for that fervor, for that zealousness, that tenacity that he expects from his people. Again, we are not idle workers. We are to put our hands to the work each and every single day. Oftentimes, those moments of strength will even come when God communicates back to us through his word, through what he's already told us, through his promises, what he has told us. Strength is not going to just out of the blue appear and it's going to be magical or miraculous. That's not how God works. We have to listen to what God says back to us. When we pray for strength, we can't just be expecting to find it as we go about our day. This is where we find strength. Through the promises of God, through what he has told us. And so how do we know what to pray for? Do we know how to pray? Can we maintain a relationship with God if we are not letting him communicate back to us? If we are the only ones talking to him, if we're not listening to what he has told us? We need to find strength in his word, and we can find strength in his word. He has told us that is where our strength comes from. And that leads us into the final part of the discussion this morning. And this is going to be, may seem separate and apart from those prayers that we've looked at, but it's going to connect here. Turn over to Nehemiah chapter 8. Nehemiah chapter 8. This is dealing with the restoration of the spiritual state of Israel, of Judah. And this chapter actually brings in the character of Ezra. And Ezra was there to restore the spiritual condition of the people, or to help restore it. He was a scribe, and so he was able to present God's word to the people and to let them know what needed to change in their lives. And the first thing needed for restoration and revival is the word of God. We can't know where to begin moving back towards God without proper instruction, without those things that he has told us, right? Josiah in 2 Chronicles 34, he needed that in order to move back towards a state that was in line with what God wanted. They were not where they needed to be, but when the word was found again, that is when restoration happened. In Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 1, it says, "Now all the people gathered together as one man in the open square that was in front of the water gate. And they told Ezra, the scribe, to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded Israel." This is where the chapter begins. This is where the spiritual restoration begins, is when the word of God enters the picture. In verses 2 and 3, continuing in this chapter, it says, "So Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly of men and women and all who could hear with understanding on the first day of the seventh month. Then he read from it in the open square that was in front of the water gate from morning until midday before the men and women and those who could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. They heard with understanding." There is a difference between listening and hearing. We know this. Hearing is when we perceive that there is some noise behind us or around us, but we do not understand what that noise is because we're either, as I did last night when I was watching some teams that I was rooting for not do so well. I was really zoned into that, and so I just heard noise if there were some questions that were being asked to me. That is hearing. Listening is when we hear what is being said, we understand it, we perceive it. The people here understood, and it was because of what is followed here in verse 5. It is because of their attitude. "And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up." The people gave respect to the word by standing up. These people did not have ready access to the word at this time. This was a huge deal to them. Being in captivity for all of these years, not even having someone that could read it to them because they did not have access to it. And now they are coming back, and as this restoration is happening, the word of God is being opened in who knows how many years, and it is being read to them. I don't know about you, but that gives me goosebumps. 70 years in captivity and coming back, and the word of God is the stepping stone to restoring God's people to himself. it was a big deal for them to be able to hear this. In our assemblies, are we giving proper attention and proper respect and proper honor to God's word? Are we hearing or are we listening? It can be very easy, I know, for us to blank out in an assembly, especially if I'm up here, I'm sure. But when the word of God is being read, no matter who it is, we need to be giving respect and honor and attention to truth, to what is being said. And even in our own private readings, this attitude can also be shown in different ways. If you're in a daily Bible reading program, are you at the point where you're doing it just to check off a box and to read through it as quickly as possible so that you can get to that national championship game that you've been waiting for, to get to that thing that you've actually been looking forward to get done with this as quickly as possible, to move on to those things that really matter in our lives? We need to be evaluating our attitude towards truth, towards Scripture, and the power that it can have in our lives. One evangelist, I believe he's still in Mississippi, Tom Holly, and I was in several classes in high school at a certain camp in Alabama, Brother Holly is a master Bible student. He wouldn't tell you that. He wouldn't phrase it that way. But he, in order to prepare for a class that was on the book of Luke, had read the book of Luke 30 times weeks before preparing for that class. These things, if we do that, that will bring out so much in how God can work in us. Give the proper attention to God's word. Give the proper respect. Recognize the power that it can have in our lives. And then in verse 6, we see the people's reaction to the word being read. It says, "And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. Then all the people answered, 'Amen, amen,' while lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground." They responded to God's word by bowing down before Him and worshiping Him. If we read or hear God's word being read, and we're not affected by it in some way, there's something wrong with us. As we even looked at this morning in some differences and maybe even how we respond to the word of God. In Acts chapter 2 and then in Acts chapter 7, the difference between those people receiving the word, they were both pricked to the heart. And yet one responded positively and one responded negatively. It's going to affect us in some way. It will. But again, it comes down to an attitude. Are we open to reason? Are we open to correction? These people had not heard the word of God, again, in many decades. And yet when it was read, they recognized the power that it did have and that it could have in their lives if they implemented it, if they let it be implanted within their hearts and let it change their lives. Again, with some of the studies that Mr. Larry and I have been doing, again, with Jack, his attitude is amazing. And it's something that I want to even strive for in getting better at. Because Jack, when he comes to something in Scripture that is contrary to what he's doing in his life, man, he's open to it. And more times than not, he is ready and willing to drop whatever he's doing and to make it line up with what he sees in Scripture. That is what we need to have. That is the proper attitude. Does God's Word have the best effect on us? And that's up to us. That's our choice. We also don't need to be afraid in asking for help, in asking for understanding. Yes, from God, and even when we pray to God for understanding, sometimes that comes through another brother or sister in helping us understand, in helping us through struggles, and maybe even struggling with passages, things that we are struggling with. We all should be wanting to have a better knowledge of Scripture, a better knowledge of truth. So no matter who it is, if we are presented with truth, we need to be willing to drop what we're doing and make it line up with what we see here. But also, we need to have the proper attitude that if it's us who is giving the instruction, if it is us who is giving some of that understanding, just as we saw in James, we can't begin to start elevating ourselves as being better than that person because we understand this one thing that they don't understand. We are all striving for truth. Always be willing to help others understand and always be willing to take that correction. And don't let pride rule over us. Continuing down in chapter 8, looking at verses 13 through 17, says, "Now on the second day, the heads of the fathers' houses of all the people with the priests and Levites were gathered to Ezra the scribe in order to understand the words of the law. And they found written in the law, which the Lord had commanded by Moses, that the children of Israel should dwell in booths during the feast of the seventh month, and that they should announce and proclaim in all their cities and in Jerusalem, saying, Go out to the mountain and bring olive branches, branches of oil trees, myrtle branches, palm branches, and branches of leafy trees to make booths, as it is written. Then the people went out and brought them and made themselves booths, each one on the roof of his house or in their courtyards or the courts of the house of God, and in the open square of the water gate, and in the open square of the gate of Ephraim. So the whole assembly of those who had returned from captivity made booths and sat under the booths. For since the days of Joshua the son of Nun until that day, the children of Israel had not done so. And there was very great gladness." We need to make application in our lives. Accepting God's word in our heart means that we will apply that word to our actions. Acknowledge what's missing in our life when we come to a passage, and then we realize what is missing, and then turn towards God through action. We can't just sit in complacency and neglect and say, I'll get to that eventually. These people acted immediately when they saw that there was something that was of great need in their life that had been missing again since the days of Joshua, the son of Nun. That was hundreds of years prior to this. And yet they put that into action. Then finally, in verse 18, the end of chapter 8 here. "Also, day by day, from the first day until the last day, he read from the book of the law of God, and they kept the feast 7 days, and on the eighth day there was a sacred assembly according to the prescribed manner." If nothing else, take this final point with you. We need to be reading day by day. We need to be remembering day by day. We need to be acting day by day. Have it be a remembrance to us day in and day out. Don't let it depart from our lives. When we constantly look into the perfect law of liberty, into the Word of God, we can know better what His will for us is. And we will find that when we do that, we live in harmony with Him. And we live in unity with one another if we all strive for that. And so when we couple constant prayer with constant reading of Scripture, there is peace. We can find peace. This is the most important relationship in our lives as Christians, is that relationship between us and God. We need to maintain it. We need to cultivate it every single day. And we need to do that with great fervor and great tenacity. God wants to have a relationship with His children. We saw that again this morning in the book of James. He yearns jealously after us if we choose another path than Him. He wants us to be faithful to Him. Do we have a proper relationship with our Father? If you have not been baptized, if you have not come to God in the way that He has prescribed, you've seen that, you've read that, you know what you need to do, and yet you haven't done it, you've been putting it off, now is the time to make those corrections in your life. And God wants to have that relationship with you. If you are a Christian, and perhaps you've failed to communicate with Him in the way that He wants you to, and failing in that relationship, that may be of a private manner, and you can pray to Him right now, and you can correct that in your life. Ask for forgiveness, repent, and go forward with new purpose based on what you see that needs correcting in your life, based in what you see in His Word. If there's anything that we can help you with this morning, won't you come as we stand and as we sing the song that's been selected? King of